Look, I get it. I understand it. I totally understand it. You're going to be frustrated driving I-77 southbound. It's going to be a mess. I-77 northbound is going to be a mess down there. Exit 83, Sutton Road. Exit 82, Cherry Road, because they're replacing the bridge. And no, by the way, I don't believe that's part of the Biden infrastructure plan. I think this was approved long ago. It's going to start tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Tomorrow night, work will continue 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Supposed to be ending on Monday, May 24th at 5 a.m. So we'll keep you company and updated all the way through with this. Welcome. It is the Brent Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WBT. We're going to hear from the Biden administration in the next number of days. I've seen it as possibly a week, 2 weeks. They are finalizing some of their plans when it comes to monitoring you extremists out there. You know, the extremists are the number one threat to the United States of America. The extremists were responsible for the insurrection. The extremists are responsible for the current required security that exists in Washington, in which everything is wrapped in chain link fence and razor wire and all that sort of stuff. They're about to come out with something new, though. This is interesting. Remember 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago when I told you that the post office was spying on you, and there were people in this audience who actually doubted that, but it is true. The U.S. Postal Service was spying on your social media posts, making sure that you're not an extremist and that if you are an extremist, you will be appropriately reported to the appropriate source. Now we've got an even creepier development. And I'll tell you, for an administration that is positively incompetent at the border, positively incompetent at fighting fentanyl, positively incompetent at fighting human smuggling, positively incompetent in pursuing the endless love affair with the mullahs in Tehran. For that administration, as incompetent as it is on both foreign and domestic policy, this ought to get you going a little bit. And I want to open the phones for your thoughts on this. Biden may hire, what's the word I want to use for this? They're going to call it private security. I'm going to call it mercenaries. Biden may hire mercenaries to spy on Americans. No, you didn't just wake up and hear this as part of a bad dream. Look, CNN is reporting this. If we don't believe CNN, I don't know who we can believe. Multiple sources telling CNN that the Department of Homeland Security is discussing a plan to use outside firms as intermediaries. Now, why would you go and hire an outside firm? Why would you hire mercenaries to spy on the American people? Take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. And when I tell you what it's going to be, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go crazy. So I'm going to give you the three count. 3, 2, 1. Here's why they're going to hire outside firms. I'm calling them cyber mercenaries. No, I don't know if it's the American Federation of Teachers. They tell the people at the CDC what to say. I don't know that Randy Weingarten and the American Federation of Teachers is going to keep tabs on your social media stuff. They're going to hire outside firms as intermediaries to circumvent the laws that limit how your federal government can spy on you without a warrant. Have you had enough of this yet, folks? I mean, in all seriousness, have you had enough of this? That's right. They're going to hire outside firms. I think I know who it's going to be. I think it's going to be the biggest mercenary firm there is. It's going to be Google. It's going to be Twitter. It's going to be Facebook. It's going to be Snapchat. It's going to be TikTok, because they're really good at monitoring people. And if you've got that on your phones or your kids got that on your phones, man, I feel badly for you because they are vacuuming up all your data. Because it's owned by the Chinese Communist Party, as you remember. So they figured out that what they can do is they can go to private concerns to spy on American citizens, because that's just called social media. And they'll use mercenary firms. They'll probably reach out to some of the folks. My guess is they'll use Five Eyes. Remember, Five Eyes are the international intelligence agencies, the UK, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, the United States. That's Five Eyes. Remember, they were wiretapping and spying on the Trump campaign back once upon a time. That story went away in a big way, though. DHS cannot create fake identities and access private group chats. That's prohibited. That's prohibited. So the Department of Homeland Security cannot go into private chat rooms and create fake identities so that they can spy on you in chat rooms. But what they can do is they can hire a company like Google. They can hire companies that are mercenaries. They could hire foreign hackers. I mean, really, they could hire the Iranians as part of the quid pro quo. They could hire the communist Chinese hackers. They could hire anybody to do this, but they're going to use private concerns because if you're the government doing it, if DHS is doing it, you're going to have to go in front of a judge and explain what you're doing. How does this make you feel? See, because this is actually a word that was thrown around a lot at Donald Trump and you people who voted for him when they would say fascism. Remember when they would say fascism all the time? Trump is Hitler. He's Hitler and you're Nazis and you're Nazi Hitlers. There are lots of Hitlers everywhere. Hitler, you're a fascist. That's why we're Antifa. We're anti-fascist. Fascism is the collaboration between industry and government in which industry functions as an appendage. It's the appendage that's below the belt, obviously, that is going to keep an eye on you. So the DHS has now come out and said, we don't believe that's true. We're not willing to circumvent law and use private firms. Well, if they're denying it, that means they're doing it. So get ready, folks. I just want to let you know, you'll remember this now. It's an important date to keep in mind. It is Cinco de Mayo. While everybody is Cinco de drinking, what you're going to get to do is know this piece of information. And it's so incredibly rich because of the actual problems we're facing in this country. Rioters not being prosecuted, rioters being given a walk, people being targeted for their politics, people being canceled. Well, this might be the ultimate cancel culture. This is the federal government under one Jose Biden and Kamala Harris hiring mercenaries and private concerns to spy on you and your internet activities. Welcome to freedom. In the new normal. News Talk 1110-993-WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. So if you're just tuning in, multiple sources telling CNN the Department of Homeland Security is discussing a plan to use outside firms to spy on you, the American people. That's a disturbing reality, because the reason why they're going to use outside firms is they can circumvent laws in a way that the FBI or DHS or IRS or U.S. Postal Service that they can't. That's just, I guess what we just call that is guilty till proven innocent or guilty till sentenced. And then if you are innocent, that's just on you. Terry, welcome to the program. Is this the Terry?
Yes, Brad, it is me.
Terry, hold on a minute, Terry. Hold on a minute. Worried. I was up late at night texting TJ saying, why is Terry not calling the program? And I am glad Terry, you have called in.
Terry had a heart attack.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Yes, I'm fine.
Oh, my gosh.
I called just to say that I'm not too worried about the internet interfering with my life. Mm-hmm. I had a computer once, and I had cable. And I had my cable and my phone hooked up and everything. Mm-hmm. And I got to realizing that, they can get information from me. So I don't have a computer anymore, and I don't have cable anymore. I just have a cell phone. It's a flip phone. It don't have any whistles or bells on it. And I get my information from WBT.
That's awesome. Okay, first of all, that's awesome. And I'm glad I envy you, because I would take a flip phone in a second. I really would. Having to look at pictures and get texts and things are sometimes that's very annoying. But back to the breaking headline news here. You had a heart attack?
Yes.
Wow. But you're doing okay now? You sure you're doing okay now?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm talking to you, aren't I?
Yeah, yes, you are. Now, it was nothing.
I'm back at home. I can't eat what I wanted to eat before, but I'm doing fine.
Okay, so it's nothing we at WBT said or anything that set you off, was it?
Oh, no. Just okay. I missed you and Coach Doherty last week, and I hope he's doing fine.
He's good. And, he's very well. He's going to be back here tomorrow. And so,
tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get you back up to...
I might call tomorrow and say, hey.
You have to do that. That would be great, man. And take it easy, relax, and keep listening to WBT, and we're happy to hear from you, my man.
Okay, thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Terry. That's Terry checking in. Good to know. In fact, TJ and I were actually talking about it. We were like, well, it's been a while since we heard from Terry. And, you know, it's good to know that he's on the mend. Yeah, you gotta check all your stuff, get your stuff checked out. You know, it's you get one life to live. That was a soap opera once upon a time. David is up next. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. This thing reminds me of The Lives of Others. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Sure.
It's very depressing, but it's really good film. And Google and Facebook are basically the Stasi.
Yeah, that's a very fair analogy. Where, I mean, look, they're gonna have neighbors informing on neighbors, and they're gonna look at what you're looking at on the internet. I have no doubt at some point they'll figure out a way to get your kids to tell you what to tell people what you're up to.
Yeah, we'll spy on the neighbors and all that. But and the other thing that is just and I hate about the whataboutism and
sure.
If it were Republican or if it were Trump. If Donald Trump were to come out and say this and say he was going to do this, what do you think would happen?
Oh, well.
I mean, it's obvious what would happen, but, I mean, it's just...
Sure.
The greatest thing Donald Trump did was expose these people for who they are and what they are.
You know, it's interesting, and let me just bring people up to speed. If you're just tuning in, the Biden administration is looking at using private firms to spy on American citizens as part of their domestic extremism, you know, stomp-out strategy. And certainly nobody wants to see domestic terrorism or violence of any kind. But as you say, you know, what would happen if it was Trump? Well, we know where they're going to be focusing their efforts. They're not going to be focusing their efforts on Portland, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Charlotte. They're going to be focusing their efforts on troublesome red parts of the country where we know all the radicals live, right? They're not going to look at Antifa. They're going to look at people that have MAGA hats and Trump 2020 flags out on their flagpoles. That's going to be the tip off right there.
And to that point, it's amazing that domestic terrorism was not a thing up until January 6th.
Well, it is now. It is now. And I mentioned yesterday the Ashley Babbitt case. We still don't know what happened there. And
lips
are tight. Nobody wants to talk about what happened there because that's an instance of, I would say that's a violation of power. I'd say that's an abuse of power by somebody behind a window firing, you know, at one person and could have hit other people. We will be on top of this.
It's kind of like the other side has said, if it were a bunch of minorities that were trying to break into the Capitol, they would have opened fire on them right away.
But in this case,
if it were a black person that had been shot in the Capitol, what do you think would have... Where would the media be then?
Well, the thing is, the media is AWOL there, and it should be a big deal no matter who gets shot by security.
Exactly. No, I agree.
We're on the same page here. I get it, Dave. We're on the same page. Absolutely. Great to hear from you. All right, when we come back, I'm going to have to turn up the temperature just a little bit more, taking your phone calls. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. So I've been looking at some of the headlines that are out there moving, and you can pick any area you want to take a look at it. You see that human trafficking is continuing to explode in large measure because of what's going on at the border. We know that much. You know that there's been an absolute explosion of fentanyl coming into the United States, and fentanyl is distributed by the drug cartels. And of course, the precursor chemicals that are used to make fentanyl, which is sold to the cartels by the Chinese Communist Party of China. The fentanyl issue is exploding. Fentanyl is an insane drug that is designed to do one thing. And one thing only, and I'm not going to back off this. If somebody calls and says, "Oh, it's not, you don't understand what it is," it is designed to kill our kids. like the fentanyl that's available out there on the streets is designed to kill our kids. Here's an example for you, right? St. Louis, man caught on Interstate 44 with 10 kilograms of fentanyl gets 5 years in prison. Like, I think you could wipe out most of the Midwest with 10 kilograms of fentanyl. But he gets 5 years. He gets 5 years. That guy gets 5 years for having 10 kilograms of fentanyl. We have to look at this and finally acknowledge what it is that's going on here. And I know I'm going to hear from social justice warriors, but that's fine. You can social justice all you want. I believe fentanyl represents for us what is essentially chemical warfare being waged on the American people. We have had biological warfare waged on the American people in the COVID-19. We now have chemical warfare being waged against the American people. Just wondering what the nuclear warfare being waged on the American people is going to look like. Oh, wait, we have those reports last week about the directed energy weapons in Washington, D.C., causing people to suddenly feel sick. And it's very likely possible that that's either coming from the Russians or the communist Chinese outfits involved. They tested that stuff out in Havana once upon a time. But let's get real about something here, okay? Let's get real about this. I don't believe that it's worth our time to take somebody who is a drug addict and put them in prison for 30 years. That's just stupid. But I do think it is well worth our time for somebody who's got 10 kilograms of fentanyl to be put away for 75 years. Like, I think that is such an egregious amount of chemical warfare. First of all, we ought to designate fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction when not sold via any sort of a medical channel, okay? So if you've got it in the back of your car, I think they ought to ring you up for a weapon of mass destruction violation. And I think you ought to face like 75 years for that. But let's go to the other thing. Let's go to the other thing, because this is a challenge I want to issue to the Republicans out there. We have an epidemic of human trafficking going on in the United States of America right now. We do. And what we do in this country is something that is horrible, and we should never do this. We consider the human trafficking going on at the border with Mexico different than the human trafficking that goes on in communities where men and women pay to procure sex from people who are not free. This story moving earlier today. Public school teacher among 10 men arrested in Ohio human trafficking bust, police say. So you read the story and you go, wow, this guy was smuggling people in. No, this guy was an Ohio public middle school teacher among 10 men arrested during a human trafficking bust in April. David DeLong, age 60, was charged with engaging in prostitution, the Summit County Sheriff's Office said in a press release. 9 other men, ranging from the ages of 22 to 62, were arrested on the same charges. Human trafficking. These are human trafficking charges. DeLong is a health and physical education teacher at a middle school in the Massillon City Schools District, located 10 miles west of Canton, Summit County Sheriff Bill Holland said. Multiple law enforcement agencies were involved in the sting, which took place in a single day and led to the arrest of 8 men from Ohio, 2 men from Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, respectively. That's according to the sheriff's office. Several human trafficking victims were identified in the bust and were offered help by resources within the Summit County Human Trafficking Task Force. So those people that were being human trafficked for the purposes of prostitution and exploitation are people's daughters. You have a daughter? You have a daughter? Can you imagine how you'd feel if your daughter was caught up in that? What these guys were going to do to your daughter? Or your son? Like, can you imagine what that's like? If you saw that happening, explicit sexual services. The suspects allegedly answered an online advertisement offering explicit sexual services in exchange for cash payment. That's human trafficking, too. Like, we can't just go after the cartels down on the border with Texas. And we can't just go and try to put them away. Oh, wait, but we don't even do that. See, we don't even do that. So here's solution number two, because I think it's time that we send a message as people in this country. The Republican Party is a party of abolition. The Republican Party was conceived as an abolition party to end slavery. And right now in this world today, there are more people living in slavery and bondage than at any time in human history. That's a fact. You can look it up. You can look it up. And so here's my idea. My idea is this. If you're caught as part of a human trafficking operation at the border, smuggling enslaved persons into the United States to a flop house in Houston where they had 100 people stuffed in a house over the weekend, here's what I'll say. I'll say natural life in a federal penitentiary or it's a capital charge. You decide. And I would hope that the Republicans, in the spirit of abolition, okay, would embrace that and write that legislation and put it on Chuck Schumer's desk and dare the Democrats to not support the idea that we are going to once and for all crush human trafficking, because nobody's son or daughter should have to fall into that life. And we know 95, 77, 35, 10, 80, those are all major trafficking runs for people who are not free. So what I'm calling for is to get tougher, much tougher on the people that are busted. You want to bring fentanyl to murder our children? We're going to bring maximum penalties against you. You want to enslave people and bring them into the United States or abduct people in the United States and sell them into slavery? We're going to hit you with the maximum possible penalty. And we need to get every one of these people, and you know who I'm talking about, in Washington, D.C., on the record. Hey, Kevin McCarthy, I don't really give a rat's rip about Liz Cheney. I don't really care that you live with Frank Luntz. I don't care about the petty, stupid politicking going on. I want to see results. I want our kids made safe. And if you refuse to do it, we'll find somebody who will, because you clearly have no spine and no... I wish I was on satellite right now. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. So understand that across this hour, we've been talking about a couple of different stories. And the reason why I mentioned fentanyl and the reason why I mentioned this idea about human trafficking exploding across the country, you juxtapose that with the fact that the Biden administration wants to hire mercenaries or corporations to spy on Americans. And you think about the wasted, missed opportunity that is, because we have so much power in the federal government that we could control the flow of fentanyl. We could control the flow of human beings and the abduction and trafficking of human beings in our own communities and around this country. And we could put in to effect the sorts of charges that ought to be carried in that regard. If you have a guy who has been busted for human trafficking, and he's facing a 75-year sentence, no parole, boom, you're done. That's a capital charge. You'll start to see people rethink these career choices that they're making. Same thing, I mean, 5 years for 10 kilograms of fentanyl. I mean, if he dumped that in a water supply, he could murder tens of thousands of people in that regard. It's disgraceful. Let me go to Maylene. Maylene, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that you're absolutely right. My son's a 25-year drug addict. He's now 42 years old, and this started when he was 15 in my neighborhood. I don't know who placed the man in the house, but he started selling to the kids in my neighborhood. Oh. There was a couple of abductions. This is how trafficking gets started, right under your own nose, in your own neighborhood, in the U.S. I have complained about the border, and all I get is pushback from liberals saying that if we didn't need the drugs, the cartel wouldn't bring it over the
yeah,
drugs.
That's right.
But
that's
that
right.
That is so untrue. That is so untrue, because once these kids, especially fentanyl, it's meth. Once they touch it, they can't stop.
Right.
And it goes with crack, and it goes with everything else. It's all that garbage mm-hmm. that comes across our border that we've opened up now. And I just am so glad you said something, because I've gotten pushed off back for saying the things I say for years about addiction.
We have to talk about this. Look, I have no objection to getting people the treatment that they need, but we have got to stem the flow coming in. We got to stop the flow. Forget
exactly.
Stem the flow. We got to stop the flow from coming in. And that's what it is. Right. And the idea that, well, no, nobody can do anything about it, that's, you and I both know that's
right.
Bravo Sierra. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to tell you another thing. All this crap they put in schools about just say no,
yep.
That's a whole lot easier than anybody thinks. Just say no.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
They don't even know they're taking it half the time because they wrap it up in something else.
Yeah. Manleen, I appreciate you being a voice out there. I'm sorry about your son having to have this fight, but I thank you so much for lending your voice to this fight because it's hugely important.
No, thank you, Brett. Keep hollering.
I will.
You
keep in touch. That's a mom. That's a mom who sees it. That's a mom who's there. That's a mom who understands the stakes here. Jack's up next. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man.
Hey, you hit on a subject that I'm interested in, the prostitution discussion you talked about a few minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brett, visible prostitution is going on in almost every community in America.
Sure.
We all know it. It's visible. I mean, what do you think these Asian massage parlors, why they're staying open at 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's going on. Why do you think there's no resolve to solve to stamp it out?
I think because politicians are probably getting paid.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think somebody's making money off this.
It's got to be, man, because it's visible. It's all over the place. I could go home and get online, make a phone call, Brett, and I could have a woman at my house within the hour do anything I wanted to do for a fee.
Sure. Sure. But yeah. but unfortunately, hold on. At the same time, the messaging in our culture, right, we have created degrees of acceptance, right? The idea that that you've got a tractor trailer truck with a bunch of children and women getting brought over the border from Juarez, Mexico, into Texas, and then up into the Midwest, where they're going to be, you know, parsed out as either sex slaves or forced labor, whatever it's going to be, right? People will say, well, that's terrible. We have to stop that. But what about those ads you're talking about? What about the stuff that you're seeing? The reality is, people will say, oh, that's a free choice. That's free will. Nobody wakes up and says, today I want to be I think I'm just going to become a prostitute today. I think I'm going to have sex with strangers and be running the risk of disease, abuse, death, what have you. I think this is a good path to take. I don't think anybody wakes up and says that. In the same way, nobody wakes up and says, today I'm going to become a fentanyl addict.
Yeah, but we romanticize it, Brett. One of the most popular movies out there is Pretty Woman. It's been out there for years.
Sure.
Pops up on TV every 2 weeks.
Right. Right.
And everybody watches that movie, and everybody loves that movie.
Yeah, but look, Hollywood has long since been a cesspool. We know that to be the case. All right, they've turned a blind eye to rapists and predators, you know, for 100 years in that industry. But here's the thing that's important. This is, okay, if you want to define it down, here's how you define it down. It's a public nuisance. Say it's a public nuisance. Go follow the strategies that you saw from Rudy Giuliani back in New York City, where you say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do broken windows theory. We're going to deal with the nuisances and the petty crimes. We're going to enforce the laws. We're going to take people into custody. And eventually, you're going to work your way up the chain. That's what has to happen. But the reality is, when it comes to human trafficking, there's really only one big dog in town, and that is the federal government. And what the Congress needs to do is put federal penalties in place that are so abhorrent to the people that are going to get arrested that you end up having a deterrent. Look, what's the penalty for pedophilia? What's the penalty for membership in Al-Qaeda? What's the penalty for membership in ISIS? You've got to put in a tough enough penalty that people are done in that regard. I appreciate the call, Jack, always. Thank you so much for checking in. John is up next. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
You were talking about that guy that got 5 years for 10 kilos of fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
I know how the feds operate, and if this guy got 5 years for 10 grams, he had to do that to cooperate to get that kind of time. So he turned a bunch of people in that helped the feds take a bunch of people off the streets that were doing fentanyl. You're not going to get 5 years for 10 kilos of fentanyl.
Right. See, that's a problem. So if you want to negotiate it down to 10 years, okay? And negotiate it down to 15 years. 5 years is not a deterrent, because that's going to go in the newspaper, and people are going to say, I'll take a shot for 5 years, no problem. I'll give up 5 names, and then I'm going to be able to walk free as a result of this. We have got to treat this for what it is. This is terrorism being waged on our streets. We can't accept that. We cannot. I refuse to accept a certain amount of death. They will tell you right now from the White House that you, as the owner of a firearm, that you as the owner of a firearm are the threat in this country. They will tell you that if you want to participate in Rolling Thunder, you are the threat in this country. If you want to do fireworks at Mount Rushmore, you are the threat in this country. If you are from a red state, if you went to the Capitol rally, forget even going into the Capitol building itself, but if you just went to that rally, you are a threat, and we are going to deploy the full force of the federal government to come against you. They will tell you that. They're open about that. So what do you say we say to Kamala? Head on down to the border and tell us what your plan is to stop human trafficking. Kamala, tell us what your plan is to stop these factories that exist over in Mexico to manufacture industrial-grade murderous chemicals. What's the plan, Kamala?
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. It's the phone number. To be a part of the conversation later later in the show, Father Bill Nicholas comes by at 5:20. Bo Thompson comes by at 5:35. We'll check in with Mark Garrison for Charlotte at 6. Tomorrow, the coach is here. And we'll be checking in with Steve Moore tomorrow, too. Do you remember the story like 2 weeks ago about the Pelotons? Remember the Peloton issue? And do you remember what was going on with the Pelotons? I'm not laughing. I'm just like, it's shocking to me to think about this. There have been a number of incidents taking place of Pelotons that involve two things. Pets being sucked underneath the Pelotons because the treadmill is running, and because if you think about the way a dynamic of a treadmill works, it goes backwards and then down and beneath. And so there have been stories of pets being caught up into it and pulled underneath the Peloton. And then we saw the video we were looking at with the young boy. Maybe it was like an 18-month-old. He fell off the Peloton and got sucked underneath it, and nobody even helped him. He had to like extract himself from under there, and you know what he was getting as he's underneath the Peloton with that belt running. He's getting like the world's worst rubber belt head burn off of that, like that thing just spinning on his head. So now this is a story that I think is unbelievable. Peloton is advising customers who had already purchase treadmills to stop using them and contact the company for a full refund or other qualified remedies. Pelotons are expensive. Those are like $3,000 plus the subscription. Peloton is advising them, the folks out there. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission released a statement on the treadmill recall. The agreement between the Consumer Product Safety Commission and Peloton is a result of weeks of intense negotiation and effort culminating in a cooperative agreement that we believe serves the best interests of Peloton and consumers. I'd like to thank the CPSC technical staff who have worked tirelessly to protect consumers and warn the public. We've taken a step to prevent further harm from these. There have been 70 incidents reported and one child death. So there was a time in my life when I would spend my money going to the gym. I'd go to a gym. I'd use the ellipticals. I'd use the weights. You know, a guy like me benches, you know, I bench 5 1/4, no problem, while eating a pepperoni pizza.
Absolutely.
But you know, you go to the gym, but you know that in a lot of the gyms, the better gyms, when you get on those treadmills, they do have a kill switch. Right. So that if like you're suddenly tripping or something, you can hit the automatic stop. Sometimes they have a fob that you plug into your wrist. And if you pull it from the machine, it turns the machine off. That way, if God forbid you have a heart attack or you fall, you're not going to get, you know, shot off the thing. But this is a serious issue. I'm going to be cynical about one thing for a quick second, though, about this. Here's my cynicism creeping in. Everybody's getting back into business now. Like, you notice everybody's going back to work. You're going back to the gyms. So now you get the settlement. But, you know, a year ago, people were buying these things at a massive clip because you couldn't work out. You couldn't work out. You couldn't do the sort of exercise that you wanted to do. You had to kind of figure out different things. By the way, one of the great moments of the pandemic, if there is such a thing as the great moments, were the handy tips that used to show up on Twitter of Herschel Walker telling you how to work out without any equipment in your house. Like, he made, I remember one time, he made a makeshift curling bar. It was, I think it was like a handle. It was like a handle for a mop. And he had two cinder blocks on it. He had somehow figured out how to put two cinder blocks. And he's like, check it out. That's like 60 pounds. You could just curl in your backyard for free. And then I think he got rid of the stick. And he's like, or you could just pick up the two cinder blocks in your hands and just kind of curl them yourself and do a bunch of sit-ups. I mean, there was a time, I think, when he used to do like 1,000 sit-ups a day. I mean, he was an absolute amazing specimen of fitness. You know, these things are hugely important. And the fact that the Peloton now, we've got the Peloton thing now happening is a pretty big deal. Here's another thing to kind of make a note of. We are coming up on, it is Cinco de Mayo today, and I want you to behave yourselves, right? You understand what's got to happen. You got to behave yourselves. You know what's happening on the 15th of May? It's the one-year anniversary of the announcement of Operation Warp Speed going into full effect. And starting to produce results. And at the time, do you remember how negative the press was saying, oh, Donald Trump's crazy. He can't get this operation warp speed to happen. It was never going to happen in time. It's never going to work. And all the naysayers were out there saying it's impossible. Well, May 15th will mark the one-year anniversary of the successful COVID vaccine. It's been almost a year since former President Donald Trump announced the launch of Operation Warp Speed. Objectively speaking, the vaccine initiative has been a resounding success. 147 million Americans, almost half the population, have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. A third of the country is fully vaccinated. Now that there's a Democrat who's the president, scientific, quote, experts and uncredentialed media pundits have been parroting the party line, see, vaccines work. But where were they back in the day in May of 2020? Where was that? Anthony Fauci suggested that Trump's ambitious goal was reckless. The Washington Post interviewed scientists who said it was dangerous to set a timetable given the scientific unknowns and the danger of rushing testing. CNN said it was the former president ginning up pressure on drug companies to develop a vaccine quickly. The New York Times said they didn't think it was going to be possible. They didn't think we'd get a vaccine till 2024. Boy, they were all wrong. Hey, when are we having the parade for the pharmaceutical companies who came up with this? Remember when Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders and the rest of them spent all their time running down the pharmaceutical companies that they were evil gougers? I guess this would be called mission accomplished, wouldn't it? 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I'm so torn between which one of these stories to do. Oh, I'm going to do it. TJ, I got to do it. I can't help it. For those of you who have been anxiously awaiting the cicadas, congratulations. Trillions of cicadas are about to emerge. This is Brood X. This is Brood X that is going to be coming out. You are about to see cicadas like, well, you haven't seen for some time. Within days, a couple of weeks at most, cicadas of Brood X, that's the Roman numeral for 10, will emerge after 17 years underground. There are many broods of periodic cicadas that appear on rigid schedules in different years, but this one is one of the largest and most noticeable. In fact, how many are there? Trillions, like actual trillions. They are saying that in maybe a third of a square foot of dirt, you can find at least 7 cicadas, a rate just shy of 1 million cicadas per acre. You thought it was bad with the turkeys. These are cicadas. One nearby yard measured so far yielded a rate closer to 1.5 million cicadas in the yard. In the yard. What's that you say? End times? Plagues? Locusts? Well, maybe. The cicadas will mostly come out at dusk to try to avoid everything that wants to eat them. Squiggling out of holes in the ground. You hear this, kids, riding around with your parents. They're coming out of the ground. They're going to climb up trees, anything vertical. They're going to climb up the trees. Go up those trees. Don't go in those trees. That's cicada nation. See, I'm talking. So, here, let me just. I'm just going to self-editorialize here for a second, okay? I am talking so much junk about the cicadas because I haven't lived through this, and I am going to be the first guy standing on the roof of my car, screaming and crying as my wife busts out the hose to get the cicadas off the car, so I have a clear pathway to go into the house. I mean, I admit this readily. I will be that guy screaming at such a high pitch. You're not going to hear it, though, because the cicadas are so loud. Kids, they're going to go climbing up the trees. Like, you know the trees you like? Covered in cicadas. Okay. I don't mean to set the kids off, but I figure if I'm going to be frightened, I want to frighten everybody. So they'll try to climb up the trees or anything vertical, including you, TJ. If you're standing up, they're going to come climbing up, TJ. They're going to say, you don't want to be horizontal. That's even worse. Oh, my gosh. What's that? Everything's itchy on me now. Once off the ground. Oh, this is good, TJ. I like this. And Josh will love this. Once off the ground, they shed their skins and try to survive that vulnerable stage before they become dinner to a host of critters, including ants, uncles, birds, dogs, cats, and rop. Rop. I don't even know what ROP is. I know what ROC is. In one of nature's weirdest events featuring sex, a race against death, evolution, and what can sound like a bad science fiction movie soundtrack, some people may be repulsed. Psychiatrists are calling entomologists worrying about their patients. That's going to be me. That's going to be me. Scientists say the arrival of Brood X is a sign that despite pollution, climate change, and dramatic biodiversity loss, something is still right with nature, and it's quite a show. You've got a creature that spends 17 years in a COVID-like existence, isolated underground, sucking on plant sap. In the 17th year, these teenagers are going to come out of the earth by the billions, if not the trillions. They're going to try their best, everything on the planet that they wants to eat them during the critical period of the nighttime, when it's the right time, when they're just trying to grow up, they're just trying to be adults, shed that skin, get those wings, and go into the treetops to escape the predators. Once in the treetops, it's all going to be about romance. It always is. It's only the males that sing. Boy bands. It's going to be a big boy band up there. This is really what they wrote in the AP. It's going to be a big boy band up there. Wow. Instinct? Who is that going to be? The males try to woo those females, trying to convince that special someone that she should be the mother of his nymphs. It's disgusting. This is why I like cities. This is gross. He's going to perform sing songs. If she likes it, she'll click her wings. And she won't be speaker any longer. They're going to have some shenanigans up in the treetops, family show. So this is what you got coming. America is the only place in the world that has periodic cicadas that stay underground 13 or 17 years. The only place. Thanks a lot, Founding Fathers. There's a lot of places you could have gone. You came here, and now we got Cicada Nation. This is no good. The bugs emerge in large numbers when ground temperature reaches 64 degrees. That's happening earlier in the calendar in recent years because of climate change. Of course it's climate change. They just said it wasn't climate change, that everything's working right. Now, of course, this yo-yo's got to say climate change. Before 1950, they used to emerge at the end of May. Now they're coming out weeks earlier. Duh, social media and the internet. They didn't have that in 1950. Cicadas who come out early don't survive. Who among us does? They're quickly eaten by predators. Cicadas evolved a key survival technique, overwhelming numbers. There's just too many of them for them all to get eaten. So hold on a second. We're going to have the shutdown of the bridge on 77, you're going to be stuck in traffic. You know there's woods on both sides of that by the river, and you're going to be just covered in cicada nation. They're all going to be waiting for you. You know who I feel bad for? The guy's working on the bridge. Guys are working on the bridge. He's got a wrench in his hand. He tries to wave the cicada away. He clocks Jimmy next to him, who now has a welt on his head. Cicadas all over the... Oh, my gosh. What are we going to? We need to find the natural predator of cicadas. No. This isn't John Cicada. Stop that. No, he was a fine singer.
Oh, boy. They're mating already. Listen to that, huh?
This is right outside the studio, right in the hallway here. We have a band singing. The cicadas are mating. Probably gonna start a fight. Because you're trying to sleep in the dark. 704-570-1110. That was by request from the cicadas that are out there. I got to take this call. I am going to talk about Rachel Walensky and the CDC and the AFT and the WTF and all that stuff. But let me do this first right here. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff has a potential fix for the cicada problems. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brett.
Hello, sir.
Glad to have you in Charlotte. Love what you're doing with the Limbaugh Show, man.
Thank you, sir.
And what I'd like to ask you is this.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think the Wuhan lab can come up with a coronavirus for the cicadas?
No, we've gone down that road before. And we do not need any more fooling around with the Wu flu and all that, man.
Oh, come on now. They're good at that
no,
stuff.
No, they're not. They're not. They couldn't. No, if they were good, they would have kept it under control in the lab. I had that story yesterday. I didn't do it. But that's – look. We just have to live with this. This is just one of those things
man. I know. Hey, I'm from the South. I've been living with cicadas all my life.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so afraid of these things because I see them like in – to me, it feels like it's going to be like that movie, the Hitchcock movie, The Birds, right? I'm afraid these things are going to come – I'm going to have to run out to the mailbox, run back in. I got to run serpentine so they don't land on me. I mean, be honest with me. Level with me, Cliff, because you've been here longer than me. Should I start driving with my windshield wipers on even when it's sunny out with those things, with these things?
It just depends, man, whether you run into a bunch of gnats or cicadas.
That's well said.
But you ask anybody from around here, son, they show up in droves.
just like relatives when you hit the lottery, man.
Man, yeah, exactly.
can't get rid of them.
Hey, look, man, I just wanted to throw that out there to
you. Buddy. I appreciate
it. Keep up the great work and stay away from 32nd Street, I-5 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right, I'll try to do it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's Cliff checking in. Jim is next. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello, Brent.
Hello.
I just want to, first of all, give a shout-out to Terry and let you know it's the good grace of the Lord that he will be serenading you again like a cicada in no time.
That's outstanding. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. But what you were talking about, the mercenary surveillance.
Yes. Yes.
They have planned for us. You know, it ties in with what's going on at the border. It ties in with the immigration disaster that they're creating. They're creating as much chaos and disaster as they can. And one of the goals during this, to do this,
mm-hmm.
you know what one of the basic goals is?
What was that?
Is to build a wall. You know what the wall's going to be for?
What's it going to be for?
To keep us in. And the wall will take many forms. It won't be a physical wall, but it will be just like you're saying. It manifests itself in ways where they will watch you, monitor you, make sure you don't go, you don't have any plans to leave, you don't try to get a passport or get away. And this is chronologically, we see this with communist empires,
mm-hmm.
that they do everything they can to control their population. And once things go downhill, when things are so bad, people start trying to leave,
yep.
and escape. As with fascist empires too, they start building the wall, physical and subjective too.
So here's the question then that I have about this very thing, Jim. Do we think that at some point the Biden administration will be amenable to using the Chinese social score, the Chinese social credit score? There'll be a combination of how you registered to vote, how you voted, and then, of course, whether or not you took the vaccine to see whether or not you're compliant with everything they want to do. I mean, what are we looking at here?
Who do you think is coaching him? What do you think that these social media mm-hmm. moguls, mm-hmm. these guys got so powerful, they were looking around to say, hey, who has the most experience with controlling a very large population? And they went to them, and the Chinese said, yeah, sounds good to us. He is their operative. He's been installed by them. They're telling him and coaching him in every way, shape, and form how to model your society on what we have here.
It's frustrating.
It's worse than everybody thinks. I wish I could say that even China was on the levers, in control of the levers, but I don't think so. I think that these corporate conglomerates, it's like what Eisenhower warned us about the military mega-industrial complex.
Yeah, the military-industrial complex. That's right.
Right. What Obama should have warned us about was the social corporate mega-socialist empire that was going to take over, that these conglomerates, corporate conglomerates, can get so huge that they're not going to, that no government is going to be able to control them.
I get it. Jim, I appreciate you being out there and your very nice words for Terry. We like to have all of our listeners like each other, and that's a big deal. I had this story yesterday. When we come back, I am going to get into this CDC thing. I had this story yesterday, and I meant to hit it, and I didn't, but I want to hit it now. Swiss billionaire plowed $180 million into the Democrats' 1630 fund in the past election to defeat Donald Trump. The guy's name is Hanjörg Wyss. Swiss billionaire gave $135 million in dark money to the 1630 fund starting in 2016 all the way to 2020. He also gave $45.2 million to the Fund for a Better Future over the same time period. So here's the thing about this. I don't care what American politician is funneling money to what cause. I mean, you can funnel whatever money you want. But this guy is a Swiss citizen. The New York Times reporting that Wyss funneled money through his network into the Democratic Party apparatus. His cash was used to build crucial election infrastructure and also propped up the groups like the Center for American Progress, where, you know, Biden has gotten a bunch of staff, and Priorities USA as they agitated against former President Trump. It's a story in Big League Politics. Foreign interference. Swiss billionaire gave $180 million to Democrats heading into 2020. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you. I'm going to share this story with you. This is pretty wild. So, you know, the CDC director is catching a lot of heat because of the belief that the American Federation of Teachers wrote the guidelines for the CDC when it comes to reopening schools. In fact, we know that they did. We know that they wrote those regulations, and the CDC adopted them basically as written. Well, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who runs the CDC, get ready for this. Just hold on to your hat. She is defending the masking requirements for children in outdoor summer camps. They want you to force your children to wear masks at outdoor summer camps, arguing that situations surrounding sporting events could be dangerous. This is among kids. We're trying to make sure there's not a lot of heavy breathing around a singular soccer ball with five kids around it at the same time. Offering a theoretical scenario of five 10-year-olds competing for a ball on the field at a soccer camp. We're trying to make sure there's not a lot of heavy breathing around a singular soccer ball with five kids around it at the same time. Walensky spoke about the guidance for summer camps during the White House coronavirus briefing on Wednesday morning. She said, it's fine for vaccinated children to gather in small groups outside without masks, but that children should always wear them for larger events. What we're really trying to avoid in this camp guidance is what we saw in outbreaks in camps last summer. Dr. Fauci also defended the CDC guidelines. Of course he does, because lockdowns are his thing, man. That's his jam. He defended it. He defended it with an interview with NBC's Savannah Guthrie on Wednesday. You know, I wouldn't call them excessive. They're conservative, Fauci said with a chuckle. Fauci noted the CDC would likely reevaluate the guidance. The CDC makes decisions based on science. They'll continually reevaluate that, he continued. You're right, it looks a bit strict, a bit stringent. But that's the reason why they keep looking at that. They don't want to open. They really don't want to reopen the country.
it's this weird thing. You know, Gretchen Whitmer's getting an award at the JFK Museum in Boston for her courageousness during COVID. Cuomo gets awarded. It's insane. David, help me out here. Welcome to the show, David. What's on your mind?
Yeah, today the governor was on the air, and yep. It sure sounded like he was wearing a mask when he was advising everybody needs to get the COVID shot.
That's right.
But if he has the COVID shot, how come he's still wearing a mask?
Yeah, it's the new MAGA hat. It's the only thing I can come up with. There's no sound reason why this guy with the vaccine in him, or anybody with the vaccine in him, should be wearing the mask. Either you buy in all the way with this Roy Cooper, or you don't. Either you think the vaccine works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work, then why are you pushing the vaccine? So obviously you think it works because you're pushing the vaccine. Exactly. I have no idea.
I want to take off a mask.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like there is a pressure building in this country. And I think that at some date certain, and I don't know what it's going to be, I'm willing to wager July the 4th, people just take the masks off and refuse to wear them. And I think people at some point just say, you know what? I'm not going to the stores that make me wear one when I go inside. I'm not going in the businesses that make me wear one when I go inside. And you guys, good luck with just selling stuff to progressive liberal millennials. Good luck with that. I feel like that's coming.
Avoid the stores that require masks already.
But the thing is, it's like there are communities within the sound of my voice that do not have a mask mandate in effect anymore. So if there's no mandate in effect, the stores are doing it on their own, which means that they don't want you to come into the store, right? I mean, that's what it is. It is crazy. It is crazy. I appreciate the call, David. He's right on, though. I mean, Joe Biden wears the mask. He had double masks. Kamala Harris had double masks as recently as like 2 weeks ago. These people have the shot. And you know darn well that if Biden and Harris have the shot, Trump's got the shot, Pence has the shot. You know that given their positions, either when in office or currently in office, you know they were getting something that was going to work. I'm not implying that stuff doesn't work. But my point is, if you're going to allow a president to be vaccinated, you got to be pretty sure that what you're giving them is effective in what's trying to be accomplished here. So I don't understand it. So Roy Cooper, not wearing a mask doesn't make any sense to me. Charlie wants to talk about human trafficking. Charlie, welcome to the show. What did you want to say, sir?
Hello, Charlie. I mean, I'm a lot older.
Yes, sir.
And near death.
Oh, no.
By hanging on.
Yes, sir.
But I kind of like you.
Thank you.
But do you have any idea what has happened to... Let me go to the cicadas first.
Cicadas, yes, sir.
Yeah, maybe they're a heaven sent.
Oh, maybe. That's very possible.
Let's look at the brighter side. Possibly they're sent here by a higher power to devour the COVID virus.
Oh, I like that idea. That's a cool idea.
Well, I think it'll work. I think it'll work, but let's go back. Do the Americans still deserve to be protected by a government that doesn't protect them? If that makes any sense, and it doesn't.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand what I do think.
Do they deserve that?
Yeah, I think.
What happened to the death penalty?
Well, the death penalty is enforced at the state level, at the federal level as well, Charlie. But the death penalty does still exist. You just have states that refuse to implement it. That's what has happened. And historically, when it came to using a death penalty, it usually involved a capital murder charge or a terrorism charge, let's say, in the case of, say, someone like Tim McVeigh. So you would have that be the case. But the truth of the matter is, we have continued to define deviancy and criminality down. We have. We watched an almost year-long insurrection go on every night in Portland. And we know
that those people clad in those outfits are going out to an attempt to destroy federal property that belongs to the government of the United States. And the government of the United States does not have enough self-respect to enforce the rule of law in that community, regardless of what that wacko Governor Brown or that wacko Mayor Wheeler have to say about anything. The federal government ought to be defending its turf because it's its turf. And a federal courthouse ought to be defended when these guys try to light it on fire. We got another great hour straight ahead. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Let's wing our way out to our good friend Breaking Brett Jensen at Brett_Jensen on Twitter. Brett Jensen, good to have you back on the program. Give us an update on some of the events that have been moving across the day.
So Governor Cooper was in town today, went out and checked out the Medic area, and with people getting their vaccines and stuff like that, and had a small chat with them about it. And Dr. Cohen was in town with him. And then Gibby Harris had her press conference today about 4 o'clock. It ended at about 4:35, her and Dr. Meg Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And so they talked about that, and they talked about a lot of it was about how the 12 to 15-year-olds are now going to be eligible to get the vaccine most likely starting next week, which right. I know you and I talked about the other day. But, and how difficult it's going to be to try and get people vaccinated, the kids vaccinated, when their parents aren't getting vaccinated. And so they're trying to come up with programs and efforts, and they're going to be in contact with CMS about providing maybe material and information so the kids can take it back to their parents' house, maybe with information, and can answer questions maybe that their parents had about it. So they're hoping that they can also reach the parents through the children.
Now, I remember a similar move taking place back in the first Biden administration with President Obama. And it went something like this. Hi, we don't want people owning guns, so we're going to put a directive out to pediatricians to ask the children who come in for checkups, does your mommy or daddy have a gun in the house? They tried to do that as a deterrent, and it blew up in their faces quite severely. So now they're going to try to use the kids to be the conduit to get the adults to get the shot.
Or at the very least, at least providing them with information, pamphlets, whatever, that they can take home and give to their, parents.
Okay.
Now, again, but again, because obviously no kid, can get the vaccine without the parents' permission. And, and Gibby Harris said, hey, we run into these kinds of problems when we're just talking about the normal vaccinations, that children usually get when they're, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, the polio and the measles and the mumps and what have you. So, they said, look, this is what we're trying to do. But they said they're going to be in talking with CMS about the best way to try to go about approaching this.
All right. So we will see how that shakes out. What are you looking? What are you kind of following in the next day or so? Obviously, we have the Wells Fargo tournament here in town. But is there a storyline you're kind of keeping an eye on out there, Brett Jensen?
Well, that's a good question, and just a quick shameless plug. I will be with Bo Thompson Thursday morning out at Wells Fargo starting at about 6 a.m. Bo will be there at 5 a.m., of course, and I'm not that much of a glutton for punishment, so I'm not joining him until 6 a.m. live at the tournament. So Jim Zocchi will also be there, but again, a quick shameless plug for tomorrow morning. But, there are a couple things, and a lot of it, honestly, it centers around CMS and the vaccines, and what kind of information are they going to be giving out to these kids once they figure out when they decide what they're actually going to do? Because, again, like you said, using the kids as a conduit, while it may sound noble and trying to reach parents who may not have all the information that they maybe need, at the same point, it's like, okay, what are you doing to the kids? And are you trying to brainwash them? Are you trying to indoctrinate them? Like, what are we doing here? And that's a very slippery slope.
It is a very slippery slope indeed. All right, we'll be looking forward to your coverage tomorrow from the Wells Fargo. And, of course, following you on Twitter, at @Brett_Jensen. We always appreciate your inputs, your insights, and your thoughts. And look forward to catching up with you tomorrow, my man.
Anytime, Brett. I appreciate it, buddy.
Take care. That's Brett Jensen. I'm Brett Winterble. 704-570-1110. Guess who came out of his hiding after 17 years in the backyard in the dirt, hiding down in the dirt for 17 long years? Well, 17 years in shift years. He was hiding for the last 17 years. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Shifty Schiff said on Wednesday to Andrea Mitchell that Facebook upheld its ban on former President Donald Trump because he was pathologically continuing to endanger our democracy. I am so teetering on the edge of just getting rid of my Facebook accounts. Like, I know I say this like every 90 days, but now I'm like really close to doing it because clearly there's manipulation going on here. I love keeping in touch with the listeners. I love seeing their pictures and the interactivity that we have, regardless of the day or night. You can reach out and say howdy. But the fact that Facebook, and I suspect Facebook is going to be a piece of this puzzle that the Biden administration's putting together. If you didn't hear it in the beginning of the program, the DHS is acknowledging and then denying that they're acknowledging that the Biden administration is going to use private institutions, actors, I call them digital mercenaries, to monitor your behavior on social media to see if you're part of a domestic extremist experiment. And so they're going to keep an eye on you. But the problem is, if you belong to certain chat rooms, private organizations, things like that, that are online, the federal government has to get a warrant to spy on you. So what the Biden administration is apparently looking to do, and this has been reported out on CNN, is they're going to look to hire private actors to go and spy on you for the government. So this isn't like informing, like back in the commie days. This isn't like informing on your neighbors. What this is there's going to be people who are paid and designated to hunt you down on the social media and on platforms so that they know what you're talking about in chat rooms. This is nothing new. This has been attempted in the past. It was sold in the past. Cass Sunstein, who is Samantha Power's husband, was active in trying to run these sorts of campaigns back in the early 2010s. And now it appears that the Biden administration views not the drug cartels, not ISIS, not the Iranians, not the communist Chinese, but views you as the single solitary threat in the United States. And they're going to deploy what they have to deploy to ensure that you are being watched and reported upon. And we will get no veto over this. And they wonder why they're losing these elections. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterble Show. Always happy when I get to catch up with my next guest, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Father Bill Nicholas, Archdiocese of San Francisco. Hello, Father Bill. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again, Brett. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Question for you, because I follow all the news from around the country, and occasionally this topic will sort of come up. So I thought I would have you on to talk a little bit about this, maybe explain this for the audience. The Archbishop in San Francisco put out a statement or a letter of some sort talking about the role of receiving communion as a Catholic as it relates to a very specific politician in Nancy Pelosi. How does this work? Unpack this for us, if you would.
Well, first of all, what he put out was what's called a pastoral letter.
Pastoral.
And it's a teaching given by a bishop to the faithful. And actually, he doesn't say anything specifically to Nancy Pelosi. And, of course, he's her archbishop here in San Francisco. He's my archbishop. He's my boss, the one I work for. But he doesn't speak specifically to anyone individual. And he's very clear in a question and answer portion on the Archdiocese website. That's not a part of the letter, but questions about the letter. He stresses that the purpose of the letter is to lay down general principles, certain general principles, but not to deal with specific individuals. Mm-hmm. However, that said, he does talk about the importance of presenting oneself worthily in receiving communion, that we don't receive it in a state of sin, and especially if we are openly in opposition to important teachings of the church. And in this particular case, the the topic of the letter is a pastoral letter on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. And because we do see a lot of cases in which people within the Catholic Church will openly say that they oppose or don't agree with or don't live many of the teachings of the Church. And in this particular case, he addresses the question of abortion. Mm-hmm. And he says we need to make sure that when we do receive communion, that we're doing it worthily, which St. Paul speaks needs to be in union with the body of Christ that is the Church. We can't enter into what's called communion when we are opposing something very fundamental and very important to the teaching of the Church, and in this case, the sanctity of human life. And given that, mm-hmm. he does have a section on Catholics in public life and Catholics in public service, in which he says it adds an even greater responsibility for Catholics in that role mm-hmm. because they serve as leaders and as an example. And because they live in such a public role and call themselves and refer to themselves as devout Catholics, it does carry with it the potential for scandal, which the Catechism defines as an attitude or behavior which leads other people to an evil. And he notes in his letter that prominent figures in society help to shape the mores and the morals of that society. And in our culture, their advocacy of abortion can definitely lead others to great evil. And so he calls on them to be aware of that, and then calls on them that if they are in this kind of opposition, or some Catholic politicians have said, your fundamental disagreement with, let's face it, a fundamental teaching, and not just of the Church, but of humanity, that somehow it is permissible to take the innocent life of the unborn, then he asks that they do not present themselves for Holy Communion.
So in terms of the public life, obviously we would assume that means a politician, an elected official, somebody with that sort of responsibility. Does that also translate into people who are public in public life, meaning a celebrity, an actor, an actress, an athlete, a CEO, a television personality? Does that apply to them as well?
I would believe so, because he doesn't specifically say politicians, but the section is on people in public life.
Public
and,
life.
You know, people who are in the public eye, who would be possibly held up as examples for people to follow. And it could be very easy for someone to say, well, if this particular politician is in favor or an advocate of abortion or can separate themselves from the issue to their leadership and their actions as a leader, then I could follow that example. And sometimes the example of the celebrity or the public figure would take precedence in some people's minds over the teaching of the Church. And example is used frequently in the Gospels, where Jesus talks about shepherds and then false shepherds. There are people who lead others astray. And when you have someone within the Catholic Church in public life, whether it be politics or anything that puts them in the public eye, and they set themselves up as an example to people, the Archbishop is reminding them, those who are Catholic need to be examples of the Catholic moral system and hopefully lead people away from a very grave evil. Because they have such a public life. Are they enforcing a religious faith on people? Certainly not. Catholics in public life, nor does the Church doesn't say they should impose Catholicism. But in any gravely immoral act, or in this case, gravely evil act of killing the unborn, the most innocent among us, he's calling on Catholics in public life to be those examples of the values they profess to hold as Catholics and hopefully lead people away from a great evil. Because when they advocate the opposite, they can lead people toward it.
So with about 2 minutes left in this segment, a question, because oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, publicly, I'm not going to impose my faith on the rest of the people. So while the Church teaches this, I don't go along with that because I don't want to impose that on people. What's the reaction to that, in about a minute and a half?
About a minute and a half. Okay. One can't really triangulate oneself from the value system that they profess. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, if you profess a Christian faith, or in my case, a Catholic Christian faith, then that covers all the aspects of our life and even of our leadership. We're not imposing anything. We're living as an example. Mm-hmm. And one really can't triangulate oneself from the faith. What sense does it make to say, regard the political parties? Well, I'm a Republican, but I personally disagree with this aspect of Republican Party, mm-hmm. smaller governments say. What does that say about us as or someone as a Republican mm-hmm. or a Democrat triangulating themselves from a position saying, I don't want to force that on people, even though I'm a Democrat.
Right.
It doesn't make them much of a member of that particular party.
Sure.
And it just seems interesting that when it comes to our politics,
yes.
we don't want to triangulate, but we can triangulate ourselves from every other value system that we have.
That's a great point. That is a home run right there, Father Phil. That's exactly right. We'll triangulate. We'll do this, but just not our politics. Our politics are absolutely sacrosanct. Father Bill Nicholas, you have a podcast. Where do people find your podcast, and what's it called?
And I'll be talking a little about this this week. Mm-hmm. I try and put them out every Friday, and it's called Faith, Hope, and History with Father Bill.
Faith, Hope, and History. And you can find it at all the places that it's posted, right? I mean, it's all over the place.
I hope so. I think they tell me about 6 platforms it's on. I don't know how many platforms are out there, but they have me on at least 6.
That's awesome. Father Bill Nicholas, thank you so much for coming by. Always appreciate it. We'll do it again very soon, I promise. Thank you so much for coming by.
Love coming on, Brett, and all the best to your listeners.
You as well. You as well. That's Father Bill Nicholas. I'm Brett Winterbull. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I'm Brett Winterbull. Bo Thompson joins us each day at this time as we cross the streams, AM, PM, spanning the dial here on WBT. Bo Thompson, good to have you back, my friend.
Hey, happy, let's see, what day is this?
Cinco.
It is Wednesday.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
We got Cinco de Mayo, Bo Thompson.
Although I've never been, it's never been a huge deal for me, but
me
I know it is for a lot of people.
I'm not one for me either, but you know what I say? I say enjoy. We've been locked down long enough. Enjoy yourself.
Yes. In fact, I think there will be some new Cinco de Mayo rookies this year.
Oh, yes, there will. Get home early. Or Uber. Bo Thompson, let me ask you a question. I know that there's some new CMS guidelines coming out as it relates to school activities, specifically performances. What's going on? What's the latest?
This is within the last half hour, a news release from CMS. Of course, Mark Garrison has been doing some great reporting on this about possible alternatives that I don't know that they'll be needed now. But for the longest time, there was this talk, and it's been building to a head about extracurricular activities. We know that spring sports and even some of the winter sports changed up their schedules, and CMS has allowed those to happen once we got certain restrictions lifted, but that has not been the case up until now for things like band concerts and theater performances and things like that. And, of course, you understand that there are parents who have students that don't participate in sports but may be doing some of these other after-school activities. And there was talk that if CMS was not going to allow those events to go on, then maybe they'd try to find other venues to use that weren't, you know, school-sanctioned. But in just the last few minutes here, I'll read you just a little bit of this. Charlotte and Mecklenburg Schools revising its end-of-the-year activity guidelines based on Governor Cooper's executive order number 209 that went into effect on the 30th of April. Under these guidelines, schools with pre-approved student performances that would include dance, theater, orchestra, and band will allow no more than 2 guests per participant, dependent upon school venue capacity, to attend performances following safety protocols that they lay out, which people listening could probably guess what those would be. But the point is now these students that are part of these other after-school programs are going to have a chance to have their end-of-the-year performances. And I'll tell you, Brett, I have high school kids, you know that. They play sports, and they're in the band. So I've been in the middle of both of these and kind of seen the struggle going on behind the scenes to make sure there's equal opportunity for these kids to do what it is they do.
Well, look, I think it's great that we're going to get performances. You know, you can see the performance. It's hugely important to the kids, also to the parents, obviously, as well. 1 to 2. Is that on par with the number of people that were permitted to attend ball games in your experience, Bo?
In the beginning, although it's been relaxed greatly as the season's gone on, I mean, and we had I think the playoffs ended this past weekend, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. No, that's not right. They still have one more, but they're in the final rounds of the playoffs. If I know for football and some of these other sports, and in fact, some sports like baseball and CMS have just started. They're going to actually extend past the end of the year, but they were very restrictive on how many people they would let in, and you have to use a ticketing app now you know, will allow you to buy a certain number of tickets per family, and that remains in effect. But the number, you know, the capacity, especially for the football games, has been relaxed in the last couple of weeks. So yes, it's evolved, although it's still a good bit more restrictive than what it would be in a normal situation.
Can we read into anything here? And I know purely speculative, and you'd be speculating as well, but is there any tea leaf here? Is there any reading into this that we can divine, say, a graduation scenario, since we're sort of approaching that in about a month, right?
Yeah, and graduations and CMS are largely at the big arenas now, you know, like Spectrum Center and Bojangles Coliseum. And so I would assume that it'll be some kind of medium between what we've seen at some of these bigger sporting events and what those actual arenas are able to have. You know, Spectrum Center's got limited capacity for Hornets games, obviously.
Right.
I haven't seen the exact documentation on that yet, and I don't know that it's actually been spelled out. I could be wrong about that because I don't have it in front of me, but my guess would be somewhere in the middle with what we've seen with, you know, both types of events.
Sure thing. That's I think it's good news. We're moving in the right direction, which is an important thing. You're going to be out at Wells Fargo tomorrow, Quail Hollow tomorrow. I know you're going to be joined by some really great people, including Jim Zocchi and our own Brett Jensen. Talk a little bit about the remote broadcast tomorrow. And Friday,
just
right?
I've been working behind the scenes before I talk to you to make sure that everything is set for access because, you know, most people, even in the media, most people who go out to an event like this, you know, they go out later in the morning. I'm asking, you know, I got to get up at the crack of dawn and get up even earlier than I normally would to make sure we're all set up because we're going on the air at 5 a.m., which is great. And we've done this for, this may be the fourth or fifth year we've done this, but it's a great scene tomorrow. What I love about being out there tomorrow on Thursday is that we are on the air when the tournament tees off, and you know that's the moment where everybody's got a chance.
When
you come back on Friday morning, or if you came Thursday afternoon, the leaderboard is populating, but we're at that moment where the adrenaline is such that everybody who's there has got a chance. So there's really kind of an electricity that runs through the course, and everybody is finally ready to get this thing going for real. And so tomorrow I've got, as you said, Jim Zocchi. We've got Brett Jensen, who will be out there with me. I believe Tom Sorensen, who was on the air with me this morning, is going to find his way out there and join us for a little bit. And Bill Rosinski, who is the voice of PGA Radio, or one of them, and a frequent guest on my show, he's going to join me by phone tomorrow. He'll be in and around the area, but not right where I am. So I always talk to him, and he kind of handicaps what he thinks is going to happen. And the other thing, Brett, is it's golf, but it's also people.
Sure.
Golf watching and people watching. And what I love about our vantage point is we're right there at the entrance, and not only are golfers practicing on the range and getting ready to go, but people are walking in, and I feel like it's the greatest cross section of Charlotte out at the Wells Fargo, and we're right there where people can stop and walk up, and you never know who might join us. I know who I have on paper, but I know there will be more.
That is outstanding. We're looking forward to that in a big, big way. Finally, I got 30 seconds. Your thoughts on the retention of the ban of Donald Trump from Facebook. I know we were not totally surprised by it, but your reaction?
You called it, man, and I, based on what you had said, was anticipating the same thing, and not to mention the fact, as we talked about this morning, that President Trump sort of did some preventative maintenance or, you know, came out and basically marked the territory and said, I'm working on my own, and I assume that's because he realized what was coming down the pike. But it is worth saying that technically Facebook did not ban him indefinitely.
That's right.
They basically kicked the can down the road, but I think we know what road that is. It's not the one that Trump is going to ultimately return anytime soon.
He should demand it be like a parole hearing where he gets to appear and make a statement in his own defense, because that would be the greatest 20 minutes of video ever. Because he would settle scores. He would relitigate a number of things, and we'd get to find out about it. All right, now remember tomorrow, layers. You're going to start off. It's going to be cool. It's going to be warm when you're done. So you want to make sure you got a wardrobe change there, you know, sort of Beyonce style out there at the Quail Hollow.
Exactly. That's what I think of, Beyonce and Quail Hollow Country Club.
Why, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. All right, Bo Thompson, get some rest. Looking forward to hearing the broadcast and catching up with you in the morning, my man. News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brent Witterville Show. Mark Garrison comes up with Charlotte at 6. Just about 10 minutes away. How are you, Mark Garrison?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on out there?
We got a busy news hour. We start off with Concord Mills, the busiest tourist spot in all of North Carolina, being sued as a dangerous place. Suit from the family of a young girl who was killed by a stray bullet in the parking lot will go in depth on dangerous issues that it seems the mall has ignored.
Oh, big story. Yeah. Absolutely.
6:20, parents win. CMS backs off. Now moms and dads can watch their kids perform at band performances and school plays. This comes, of course, after the mayor of Matthews said the schools were being unreasonable. We'll chat with him again. He says they're still being a bit unreasonable, but he'll take what he can get.
I'm hoping they'll invite him to attend the performance.
They should. They absolutely should. Governor says keep your mask on inside until 2/3 of the state is vaccinated. That may be a while.
What?
Yeah. And 6:35, our success story this week is a little different. It's about a company that is cranking up here in Charlotte to make electric vans and buses, not like any vehicle factory you've ever seen.
Oh, I love this. This is exciting.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
All right, sir.
All right, that's Mark Garrison. He's got Charlotte at 6 coming up just after 6. Hey, tickets are on sale this Friday, May 7th at noon for the Genesis The Last Domino Tour at Spectrum Arena. On November 20th, Bo has your shot at tickets this week. So you want to listen to the Bo Thompson Morning Show. I know he's a huge fan of Genesis. He's a huge fan of Phil Collins. I don't know anybody who isn't. And you want to tune in for that so you can get those tickets. Because we're talking about fun stuff here. TJ's a huge fan. I can smell it coming in the air tonight. Feel it coming in the air tonight. Cicadas. I am not giving up on this cicada thing. We will do it to the best of my ability. On this program, I want you to understand, we're going to get you cicada updates. We're going to solicit you to give us your cicada updates. We're coming up with a metric to find out, you know, who has been the most cicaded part of our listening area. It'll probably involve using a tape measure, a dowel of some sort, perhaps, that you could mark off if you don't have a tape measure. And, you know, it may be worth pulling the hip waders out. I don't know how deep the cicadas get where you are, but those hip waders could come in handy. The Lord knows the last thing you want is to go out there walking around in some flip-flops. You know, think about this. You're out there, you got this big old thing of cicadas out there. It's undulating earth, and you got flip-flops on. And what happens? What happens? I'm sure this happened to him. I'm sure this has happened to TJ. You take a step that's kind of unsteady, and the flip-flop comes off your foot, and now your naked bare foot goes down on the undulating cicadas there on the ground buzzing. And that's got to be like a joy buzzer for your foot. And I mean, it's got to freak you out. That foot goes down on those cicadas and it's like, no, I don't need that. I do not need that. So I made a phone call to my wife during the break. I said, honey, I need you to get me, I need you to find them for me because I think she put them away in the storage closet. I need my golf shoes. I'm not playing any golf, but I do have clubs and I have golf shoes. Let me tell you, the putter is going to be handy clearing a path of cicadas out of the way. I may actually invent cicada golf. Okay? I'm not going to hurt any cicadas. I'm not, but I am going to put the ball on the tee and I'm going to hit it with a pitching wedge and we'll see how far we get. How many cicadas that we're going to be able to get through. So it's one of those things that we got to kind of understand. It's crazy. Joe Biden has now come out. The White House and Joe Biden believe social media platforms should block more untrustworthy content. When did you people vote for this? And I'm serious. And when I say you people, I don't mean you people. I mean you people. You, the people. We, the people. When did you vote for this? The White House said Wednesday President Joe Biden supports social media companies banning more content considered untrustworthy on their platforms. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, I know it's Jen Psaki, declined to say during the press briefing if Biden supported social media companies continuing to ban former President Trump from their platforms. Of course he does. Of course he does. That's a dumb question. But Psaki said his view is that there's more that needs to be done to ensure this type of misinformation, disinformation, damaging, sometimes life-threatening information going out to the American public. Who appointed him the interweb czar? I'm serious. Who knows what people are interested in reading? You know, people sometimes, I know it's hard to believe this, you NPR, croissant pizza eaten elites. I know it's hard for you to understand. Sometimes I read stuff on the internet because I'm just interested in it. Doesn't mean I'm going to go and embrace the hollow earth philosophy, though that would be awesome for the cicadas. We'd have somewhere to put them all. All we'd have to do is punch a hole in the crust and then send them on down. But sometimes I read stuff just because it's interesting, or it might be interesting. Sometimes I read stuff because I'm bored. These elites think that everything you read on the internet, you immediately consume and take to heart. That's not true, unless it's about Hunter's laptop. And then I believe all of it, because I saw the pictures. My word. But the reality is, Joe Biden, I want to encourage the Democratic Party here in Charlotte and in North Carolina and South Carolina, run on this platform that you're going to control the social media. I double dog dare you to come out and say it. That's what America needs to hear, your truth. And the truth is, you want censorship. Unless you're willing to come on my show tomorrow as a caller and distance yourself from it, I have to assume it's true. Sorry, not sorry. Thank you to TJ and Josh and each and every one of you. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.